Golden State Media Concepts bring you Book Review Podcast, a haven for bookworms of all ages and the widest genres, from mystery to memoirs, romance to comedy, fantasy to sci-fi. If you love to read, this is the podcast for you. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and I am here once again with you with another author interview. As I mentioned at the end of the episode on Tuesday, we have it's a thrilling kind of week because we have our second author interview about a second thriller this week. I hope that you tuned in on Tuesday for E.A. Amar's interview about his book, The Unrepentant. Today, as I mentioned, I am speaking with author Tosca Lee about her new thriller, and it is called The Line Between. Let me give you the description of that book. If I can find it, I just had it. There it is. Sorry. So, when Winter Roth is turned out of New Earth, a self-contained doomsday cult on the American prairie, she emerges into a world poised on the brink of madness as a mysterious outbreak of rapid early-onset dementia spreads across the nation. As Winter struggles to start over in a world she's been taught to regard as evil, she finds herself face to face with the apocalypse she's feared all her life. Until the night her sister shows up at her doorstep with a set of medical samples. That night, Winter learns there is something far more sinister at play and that these samples are key to understanding the disease. Now, as the power grid fails and the nation descends into chaos, Winter must find a way to get the samples to a lab in Colorado. Uncertain who to trust, she takes up with former military man Chase Miller, who has his own reasons for wanting to get close to the samples in her possession, and to Winter herself. That is the description for The Line Between, the new thriller by Tosca Lee, and this book sucked me in from the beginning. I know I say this a lot, but it's a page-turner. I loved the concept. I mean, I love the concept of a young woman who has spent 15 years of her life, the majority of her life, in this doomsday cult. It's all she's known since she was seven, and now she's suddenly exiled from it and back out into mainstream life, where doomsday seems to be happening. The apocalypse seems to be coming. It is this kind of great juxtaposition of what she's been taught and then learning to live in the so-called normal world, only to find that that world is kind of going a little bit crazy with this new disease that is out, this mysterious outbreak. I really enjoyed Winter as a character. I enjoyed some of the secondary characters as well. I really loved the way Tosca writes in that she explores relationships throughout the book. There are flashbacks as we learn more about Winter's time at New Earth, as we learn more about her relationship with her sister, and then as we watch her grow once she leaves the compound and has to learn to live differently. And she doesn't really even get that much time to learn to live differently before she is thrust into this seemingly impossible situation where she has to try to get these samples to Colorado, which of course is not as simple as it sounds because, you know, as I said, things are going crazy and there's adventure, there's action, there's danger, there is all of those wonderful things that make a thriller so great to read because they suck you in. And as I've mentioned before, thrillers aren't always my go-to genre, but thrillers like this are definitely my favorite because it is about the action, it is about the that page-turning nature where you just have to keep reading to find out what happens. I think before I really started reading thrillers a lot more than I had before, I tended to think of them as scary or violent, or, and sometimes they can be, of course, right? But there's also, there's so many different genres or different types, I guess you would call, of thrillers. And this is one of those that, yeah, I couldn't get enough of it. I actually finished it and went, oh, shoot, I'm not ready to be done. So it is it's a page turner, that is for sure. If you are interested in this book, I do have copies to give away. So stay tuned until the end of the episode to find out how you can enter to win those copies. In the meantime, though, let's go ahead and get to that interview with Tosca so you can hear what she has to say about the book. Again, the book is The Line Between. It came out January 29th. And here is the interview with the author, Tosca Lee.
Hi, Tosca. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Sarah, for having me. So excited to be here.
I am excited to have you here, and we are here to talk about your new thriller, The Line Between. Before we get to the book, though, if you could tell us a little bit about yourself, that would be wonderful.
Okay. Well, I live in the Midwest. I live in Nebraska, where right now we've got a lot of snow. I am married to a farmer, so I do a lot of my writing upstairs in the, I call it the attic, but it's really just the upstairs of the old farmhouse. And I have four stepchildren, three of which are still at home. And I write full time. So there's always a book in some part of the process going on with across my desk somewhere. And one of my favorite things to do is to get out and meet readers. So I love any opportunity to meet readers face to face.
Great. Thank you so much for that. So yeah. As I said, the book is The Line Between. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so The Line Between is the story of a young woman, 22-year-old, Winter Roth is her name, and she has just been kicked out of a doomsday cult on the American prairie in Iowa, and she is attempting to start life over in the outside world, which she's been taught to regard as an evil place, and as she's trying to start her life over, this pandemic has begun to spread across the U.S., and so for her, it really looks a lot like the apocalypse that she's always been told was coming. And so it's the story of her starting over. It's the story of how she becomes entangled with what is going on with this disease. And there's a lot of running for your life and a mad chase across the Midwest going on in the story. So.
Yeah, and it's interesting that juxtaposition between her coming out of the kind of apocalyptic doomsday cult into what feels like the apocalypse.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she's basically, I mean, everybody's scared, but she's even more terrified because
right,
of what
for
she's
her,
been taught.
It's like, oh no,
yeah.
This is what I was told, and now I'm on the wrong side of, because, you know, the cult she was in was self-contained and it had walls. And so for her, there's this moment of panic and thinking, I'm on the wrong side of this whole thing. So,
yeah. What was your inspiration for the story?
Well, you know, I had a couple different ideas. And so I had a separate idea about writing the story of a young woman starting over after leaving a cult. I've always been fascinated with cults. And, you know, I've come to find through this story and the feedback and the reviews, there are a lot of people who are really fascinated with cults. So I'm not alone in that. And then I was really interested when I came across this headline. I was just scrolling through social media one night and I saw this headline about a reindeer in Siberia that had melted out of the permafrost. And this reindeer carcass, it turns out, was full of anthrax. And it made a local village sick and a young boy died. And I started looking, you know, for more about this melting permafrost, you know, and climate change and all this. And there are a lot of articles actually about the, you know, scientists basically being kind of nervous about what could be coming out of the permafrost. Fascinating, kind of scary stuff. So I went to a meeting in New York with my publisher, and it was kind of that time where you know, you go discuss what you might write next and kind of what's coming up. I was between books. And so I had a short list of favorite ideas. And these two ideas, this idea of, you know, permafrost, disease, pandemic thing, and the cult idea were on the short list along with a couple others. And as we were discussing them, my publisher said, you know, I really like these two, but I think you should put them together into one book. And I really hadn't thought of that, but I think it worked out well. And I wish I could take credit for that, but I can't. So.
Well, it's nice that you gave credit where it was due.
Well, I have to.
And then talk about Winter as the main character. What about her do you think will resonate with readers?
Well, Winter, and her name is spelled W-Y-N-T-E-R, and she's actually named after my stepdaughter, whose name is Winter, spelled the same. And she's, you know, she's very determined. So I know that many of us cannot identify with this idea of having come out of a cult, but I think that we have all felt like we are kind of not belonging at some point in our lives. And this is something that she goes through quite intensely when she comes back out into the secular world, feeling like she doesn't quite fit in. And I think we can all identify with that. She's very smart, very resourceful. And I think that we as readers enjoy reading about smart and resourceful main characters that we can really get behind and cheer for. And she's a strong young woman. She just doesn't know it. And so I think those are the kinds of things that will resonate. And, you know, she's also dealing with, she comes to realize that she's dealing with a little PTSD and that she has OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, which is something that I have actually. And I think, you know, the more that I write and the more that I include characters who are dealing with various issues that have to deal with mental health, the more I find that so many people and so many readers are also dealing with a lot of these kinds of challenges. And so, you know, I think some people may identify with that aspect as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Excuse me while I jump in here so we can take our first break of the podcast. When we come back, we'll be talking more about another character in the book and kind of her relationship with Winter as the main character, and that is Winter's mom's best friend, kind of a surrogate aunt to Winter and her sister. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's gsmcpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. I am speaking today with author Tosca Lee about her new thriller, The Line Between, and we are going to talk about another character in the book, Julie, Winter's surrogate aunt. So let's go ahead and get back to that interview.
The characters that I didn't really think about it much until just now when you were talking about Winter and going through the PTSD and everything that she does, but the character of Julie, who is Winter's mom's best friend, is really amazing because she's so just kind of matter of fact. You know, she goes and she gets Winter when Winter is kicked out, and she does everything that she can. You know, she kind of steps into that mom role, but she really does it in a way that is so nurturing and, like I said, matter of fact. She doesn't like freak out because this young woman has been in a cult for 15 years and is
right.
not quite what we might call normal.
Yeah, I like I like Julie a lot, and thank you for mentioning her, because she's not someone who's brought up in conversation a lot, but around this book, but she is. She comes across, I think, a little brusque and a little short sometimes, but she is very nurturing, and she's just very like, go get it done. She has no tolerance for stupid people. She has no tolerance for, you know, crazy people or any of that stuff, which is funny because the world is starting to go crazy. That's what this pandemic does.
Right.
So right. Yeah, she's kind of a fun one. I like her.
Yeah. And she's the same with the PTSD. Like it's not this whole like, oh, just, you know, get over it kind of thing. Or let's just see if it gets better. She's just like, okay, we're going to take you to the doctor. We're going to get you on something. We're going to take you to a therapist. We're going to take care of this.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, in terms of mental health, I definitely appreciated Julie's character.
Yeah, she was fun. I liked her a lot.
Yeah. You touched on this a little bit, but are there any autobiographical elements within the book or the characters, anything?
Well, there's that part with the OCD issue and stuff, but you know, I grew up in a very, very strict church, so I might have drawn a little bit from that. I can't identify with the, you know, the self-contained cult aspect per se. But you know, there was a time in my life when I did feel like I didn't quite fit in with, you know, the stuff that my friends were into, because a lot of that I wasn't allowed to do. For instance, when I finally started listening to the radio, I wasn't familiar with any music on the radio, and I practically had to give myself an education in pop culture. So, you know, in that regard, I do kind of identify with Winter in that way. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, there's a lot of details in the book. What kind of research did you do? I mean, you talked about the article that you read about the permafrost, but what other kinds of research did you do?
Yeah. Well, this particular disease is a prion disease, and it's a prion disease that ends up kind of mixing with a virus, with influenza A, which I got while I was writing this book.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, of course. It was like, seriously, you know, I'm going to write a book now about someone who, an author who wins the lottery next, because apparently,
yeah,
whatever you feeling, I write happens.
Were you feeling a little paranoid?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I was like, really serious. And this was, you know, just last year when we had that horrible flu. Remember how terrible the flu was? And it was like, seriously, because it was just a terrible year for flu. And so, you know, I was learning a lot about how diseases can, you know, they mingle like this. This is how Spanish flu happened. You know, they kind of swap DNA, and then you get these terrible pandemics. I did a lot of research into prions. My sister's a doctor, so she kind of helped me design this kind of designer disease, I guess. So there was that part. But I also researched quite a lot about cults and what it's like for those who leave them. All different kinds of cults. Fascinating stuff. And I might have, you know, gone to the Colorado State campus and stalked the microbiology building once or twice. So just, you know, to make sure I was kind of describing it right. So, you know, there's that too.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice. I saw on your website that this book is possibly being developed for television.
Yes, it's in development. Yep. Kind of fun stuff.
Yeah. How involved are you as the author in that, if at all?
You know, that's really going to depend a lot on the showrunner and writer and the people who become attached to the project. So I've worked with these producers before. They are the same ones who have developed and sold my other thriller, The Progeny. And they're wonderful to work with. This is Radar Pictures I'm talking about, in Ed Burns's group, which is called Marlborough Marlboro Road Gang Productions. I can never say Marlboro.
That's a hard word. I can't say it either.
Yeah. And they're wonderful people. I've so enjoyed them, and I've so enjoyed their work on behalf of these projects. So they know that I'm there to consult if need be, but I also, you know, I'm not one of those people that really, I'm not an artist or writer who freaks out when other people come in to work on something or come in and change it, because for me, it's kind of like creating a playground and then wanting to see how other people play on that playground. So it's fun for me to watch the whole process. Yeah.
Yeah. Fun. Yeah. You mentioned other books, and you do have many other books. Are there any other writings that you would like to highlight today on the podcast?
The upcoming one this September, the sequel to The Line Between comes out, and it's called A Single Light. And so it is the continuation and conclusion of Winter's journey. And I so enjoyed writing that book, and it went very quickly. And part of why I enjoyed it so much is probably because I wrote one of my favorite characters I've ever written. It's not a character that I had really envisioned in detail ahead of time. I just knew that there was this character at this certain spot. And this character just kind of stole my heart a little bit. So I'm really looking forward to introducing readers to A Single Light when it comes out in September.
Yeah, actually, I was hoping there might be a sequel, because mm-hmm. I mean it sort of wraps up, but definitely
right.
Room.
Yeah, there's it's like it you know that there's more to that can happen. So yes, there is a sequel coming out. So
I finished the book and went, no wait, no, I want more. So
at least it wasn't like a huge no. I did this really mean thing at the end of the progeny. I did this like massive cliffhanger, because I think it's kind of fun, especially when the second one comes out, then you can go right on. But I had a few people who definitely wanted to kill me for that one. So I didn't do as big, big dun-dun-dun like that,
Right. So. Well, as long learned. As you don't make us wait like 10 or 20 years for the sequel.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. And then that comes out in September. Are you mm-hmm. currently working on another book?
I am. I've got a historical book that is just getting the final touches kind of reshaped on it. And then we will take that one out and look for a home for it. And then I've got another thriller that is just in the very early stages, and we will be looking for a home for that too. So
mm-hmm. yeah. What about the thriller genre draws you as a writer?
You know, I really enjoy keeping readers up late. I consider it kind of a fun personal challenge and kind of a badge of honor whenever I hear from readers that they couldn't put the book down, or they stayed up too late, or they called in sick to work or whatever. Not that I advocate for that, but I still kind of like hearing that it happened.
Right.
I think it's fun. And I think that the pacing, thrillers have a very distinct, quick pacing, and they are meant to have the twists and turns that we turn to fiction for. And it's not the same as like a big epic historical, which I've done those before too, but the pacing is so different. Mm-hmm. And it's fun for that. It's not a long meandering journey. It is a roller coaster. So
yeah,
I like the thrills.
Yeah.
And the reveals, there's always the kind of the surprises and the twists. I like that part.
So. Right. Yeah. I think, and in this book, I don't want to, I'm not going to give anything away, but things keep being revealed about, especially relationships, like Winter's mm-hmm. relationship with her sister. Mm-hmm. I liked how that kind of started in one place, or seemed to, and then grew as the story mm-hmm. grew.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's kind of fun. And there'll be more of that in the book to come too. So, and a lot of those, the fun thing about writing it is, you can plot to your heart's content, but I find that there's always something that happens or comes up that I didn't really see coming until that moment. And then it's like, oh, well, you know, this needs to happen now.
Right. It's fun when you get to be surprised.
Well, yeah.
It's time to go ahead and take our second break of the podcast. But when we come back, we will have not only the conclusion of the interview, but we'll be talking more about when Tosca started writing, some of her favorite authors and genres, etc. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast and the conclusion of my interview with Tosca Lee about her new thriller, The Line Between.
When did you start writing? And was it something that you'd always wanted to do, or did you come to it later in life?
You know, I always wrote, and I was first published when I was in third grade, actually.
Oh, wow.
My teacher had suggested that I write an article for a pet lover's newsletter. And this was back in the day when newsletters were printed and mailed to actual real mailboxes. And so I did. I wrote an article about the death of my bulldog. And so that was the first thing. And I used to win contests and stuff, but I really was pursuing a future as a classical ballerina. So that was my all-consuming passion. I wanted to dance, and I danced, you know, a lot of hours all the way up until I was about 16 probably. But I had an injury in my teen years that just really kind of I tore a groin, and it took a lot of time to kind of come back from that. And I grew 6 inches, and, you know, it kind of became apparent that maybe this wasn't going to happen. It's such a competitive, you know, thing. You have to be able to do this while you're young. And so I went off to college, and I was back visiting during spring break my freshman year. I don't know who goes home to Nebraska for spring break. I mean, of all the places to go, you know, where you're likely, just as likely to get snowed on or as to have a 70 degree day, right?
Yep.
But I was back visiting, and I was talking with my dad, and I was talking about one of my favorite books of all time, which is The Mists of Avalon. And it's a historical novel about the women behind King Arthur's throne. And I was talking about what I loved about this book and how a great book is like a roller coaster, even if it's not the thriller kind, you know, even if it's just an emotional roller coaster. And that day I blurted out, you know, I think I'd like to write a book, because I just wanted to know if I could create something like that for someone else to enjoy. And my dad made me a deal that day. And he said, okay, look, I was supposed to come back that summer and work at a bank as a bank teller, which I was terrible at. And it was awful. I'm numbers and I don't get along very well. I can tell you a story about where the money went, but, you know, don't ask me to like add stuff up, right?
Right.
So my dad said, I will pay you what you would have made this summer working at the bank if you spend your summer writing your first novel and you treat it like a job.
Oh, wow.
And I said, okay, absolutely. And so that summer I came back and I gathered up my research, because of course I couldn't just do like a contemporary thing. I had to write this epic historical novel about the people of the Stonehenge people of Salisbury Plain, England, and you know,
well, yeah, if
the
Neolithic Avalon was your inspiration, of course you did.
I know, right? So it's like, and I remember thinking, gosh, this is really hard, and how do I organize all this research and kinds of challenges that actually do go into writing a book. So I wrote my first novel that summer, and it was not good, and it's still in the basement. So, but you know, that's how you learn to write mm-hmm. novels, as you write a novel. So, but that's when I knew. And the following summer, I sent it off to Writer's House, which is one of the premier, you know, literary agencies in New York. And I finally got this letter back, and they said, even after reading this, the 23-page synopsis, never write a 23-page synopsis, we're still not sure what this book is about.
Oh,
and
no.
They said that my characters were two-dimensional and my plot lacked tension because I didn't really know, you know, that you needed to have tension and all this stuff. But in the letter, they said, but it is strangely reminiscent of Clan of the Cave Bear, which was another one of my favorite novels. And so what I took away from the experience was that my book was like Clan of the Cave Bear. And I was like, I'm going to do this again. So I was hooked by then. So it took me a long time to write my next one. But that's kind of how it started.
Yeah. I love that you took the rejection and pinpointed the one thing that gave you hope and excitement. That's wonderful.
I don't know. It's or delusional. It's whatever.
Well, there's a fine line.
Yeah, you know, you have to kind of be willing to see every single positive you can, and you have to be willing to hang in there, you know, for a long time sometimes to do this job. So.
Mm-hmm. And so in addition to Mist of Avalon and Clan of the Cave Bear, who are some of your favorite authors and genres when you read?
You know, I've always loved Anne Rice. She's just such a master. But I more than favorite authors, I tend to have, you know, favorite books and books that, you know, touch me deeply, or books that I just really enjoyed. I recently read Dark Matter by Blake Crouch. He did Wayward Pines, which was also a TV show. Just totally enjoyed it. It was smart. It was fast. I enjoy all different kinds of books. I like David Sedaris. I like his humor. I like Anne Lamott. I like her humor. I like thrillers. I like reading romance. I like historical. You know, I'll read kind of pretty much anything. I like young adult fiction too. So,
mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Pretty much anything.
Love it.
I try not to name too many names, because I have a lot of friends who are authors. So I always feel like, you know, if I start naming names, then I'm going to get myself in a pickle. And, you
right.
know,
it's like your Oscar and acceptance speech when you forget
out.
Someone. Yep.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, we won't put you under that pressure.
Okay, thank you.
So you have a website, so tell people the address of the website and where they can find you on social media.
Okay, so the website is toscalee.com, and it's just toscalee.com. And I'm on pretty much all the social media, and those links are all on my website too, but I'm on them all as Tosca Lee. So pretty easy to find.
Easy enough. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
As we are wrapping things up, is there anything else that you would like to talk about that we haven't covered in terms of writing or your books or anything at all?
You know, I get asked a lot about tips for writers. And
oh, I missed that one. I was going to ask you that question.
Oh,
thank
okay.
you.
Well, perfect. That's perfect.
Perfect.
Because, you know, a lot of people who read and love to read also want to write, as happened with me. So the number one tip that I always give, I call it my number one rule of writing, is to write like no one will ever read it. And I know that that seems counterintuitive, because especially if you're writing for publication. But the reason I say that is because if you can write like that, write like you're, you know, in your closet with a flashlight, you know, writing secret stuff, then you'll write all the good stuff. You'll write the authentic, genuine stuff. And then you're not worrying about what people are going to think, what your parents or your coworkers or, you know, your pastor or shrink or whatever. You're not going to worry about what any of those people think. And you can always go back and edit and censor it later if you need to. So I always say that. And in my number two rule is always just, you know, finish the book. I get asked a lot from, you know, by people, you know, how do I get an editor? How do I get an agent? And I always say, well, is your book done? And they're like, no, I just have an idea, or I just started. And it's like, nope. Don't worry about that. Just finish the book first, because you can't even approach those people until you've got a finished manuscript. So, and by then, you know, they might be in a, you know, the publishing industry changes so much, and those people might be at different publishing houses, or, you know, a lot can happen in the time that it takes to write a novel. So just finish the book and don't get hung up on rewriting the beginning over and over. I've done that before. I don't recommend it. You'll never finish that way. So just plug ahead and get it done, even if it's messy, and it will be messy, and parts of it will be stupid and parts of it will be brilliant. And, you know, that's what editing and rewriting is for, to figure all that stuff out. So plug ahead and finish the book.
Thank you so much for that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your snowy day to talk about your book.
Oh, there's not a lot happening today.
So. I'm sure not, but if I can save you from shoveling, then that's great.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I appreciate that very much. So I have no intention of stepping outside that door. So.
I don't blame you.
Damn it.
Yes. So the current book is The Line Between, and then the sequel to that comes out in September. I'm excited. So
yay,
thank you again.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you once again to my guest, Tosca Lee, for taking the time to talk to me about her new thriller, The Line Between. I so enjoyed the book, and I so enjoyed speaking with Tosca about it. As I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, I do have copies of this book to give away. So if you are interested in reading The Line Between, it's pretty simple. You just have to go to our Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter page and comment on this episode. It's episode 143, interview with Tosca Lee. Just comment on one of those posts, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and you will be entered in to win a copy of The Line Between. Please do also share and like and follow and all of those good things on social media. But in order to enter the giveaway, you do have to comment. So, definitely enter if you are looking for a great action-filled page-turner of a book. Thank you again to Tosca. Thank you, as always, to you, my listeners. I so appreciate you and the feedback that I get from you. I hope you're having a wonderful week. I hope that you will join me again on Tuesday when we have a returning author coming on the podcast. That is Cynthia Diamond, who will be joining me on Tuesday to talk about her fifth book in her weird series that is called Starting Fires. So definitely join me on Tuesday. In the meantime, I hope you have a wonderful weekend, and I hope you have plenty of time to go out there and get yourself lost in a good book. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.